Have a tree question and you're stumped? We're out in the yard with certified arborist John Eisenhower with Integrity Tree Service. Call with your questions right now at 1-888-ROSIE-4U.
John's on the line as we bring him in. Let me remind anyone listening that would like to attend the Saba Home and Garden Show at the Tucson Convention Center next Saturday, where we will be broadcasting live. We have free tickets, limit two per household. You just email info@rosieonthehouse.com. Put your address in there. We'll drop them in the mail, and they'll show up at your door. Come on down and join us at the Saba Show.
Yeah, and I'd like to give a little shout-out to the Master Gardener's plant sale today at Thomas and 19th Avenue.
Metro Tech.
And it's their annual plant sale, and it's really great. I'm going to be heading over there right after I leave the studio today. And, yeah, it's just a great
time.
Are
you going to help, or do you have a list? What are you looking for?
I'm looking for some plant starts. I want some vegetables. Yeah, I'm a little late getting my fall garden in, but I'm going to get some plant starts and look around to see what they've got.
And when your fall garden, what do you like to have in yours?
Well, we haven't had one in for several years, but I'm going to get some ideas from the master gardeners. They're the people that will tell me what I need. I want to get some herbs in, and I'd like to get something. John probably didn't say leafy vegetables this time of year. I'm not sure. Yeah,
leafy vegetables and roots. Let's bring John into the conversation. We were talking about the red push earlier, and he had a follow up question for us. Good morning, John.
Good morning. John, I got a question. You talked about that Chinese pistache, and I would like to know, is that tree, is that good for up in Payson, too, or is it just a desert tree, or what is it?
You know, the ones that they sell here, of course, are adaptable to the low desert. I don't know how far north you could go with that tree or not. I would think you'd probably be safe to 3,500 feet, but I don't know above that. You'd have to probably check with the grower.
Hang on, John. What we're going to do is Bernie's actually really good about answering his phone, even on weekends. Mm-hmm. So we'll call Bernie in Marana, who propagates a lot of these red push pistachios and Chinese pistachios. He'll at least know the frost hours, the frost temperatures.
Right.
You know, most trees are rated to a certain temperature. He'll at least tell us, and then we can measure that with the historic lows in Payson, and we'll get you a real-time answer. How's that? Now, does a palm question qualify as a tree?
Sure.
All right.
Absolutely.
Then let's bring Jerry from Maricopa into the conversation while we get Bernie on the line and talk about his palm. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning. I have a pygmy palm in my backyard. There was three of them at one time, and one of them died and fell off. Now the second one's dying and falling off.
Yeah, I'm really sorry to hear that. It seems to be really common. It's a shame when you have one of these multi-stemmed palm trees like the little pygmy dates, these Robolinis, and have one of them that will die. And it's often a nutrient problem. Sometimes they're very frost sensitive, as you probably know. And we've had a lot of them get frost damage in the winter, and they never seem to recover. And it's a shame when one or two of the stems gets frost damaged and dies, and then you've got a few that survive and remain. But yeah, I really don't know what to say without looking at it to tell you what the causes of that are. Palms do have specific nutrient requirements that aren't always met in our heavy, tight clay soils with high pH. So you might want to be sure you get a good quality palm fertilizer. And work that into the soil. A little organic material wouldn't hurt either to try to get a little bit better drainage. You know, like I said, our tight soils are not really great for growing a lot of plants, and some of the tropicals, like that Robolini palm, would enjoy a little bit better quality soil if you could try to incorporate some of that.
Okay, I'll try that.
Well, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it.
And what was the name of that palm again?
The Robolini?
Robolini.
That's the little date palm, little pygmy date palms.
And how big do those get when you say little date palms? Are those like dwarf palms?
Yeah,
I'm trying to picture this here. You can see
some taller ones. They're actually not a fan palm like a Mediterranean fan palm. These are a feather palm. Their fronds are like feathers, and they're beautiful, elegant plants. Just very frost sensitive. We've had more damage by frost, and They so they do need to be protected in the winter. But they can grow to maybe 5-6 feet in height is typical. That's a good size plant. But you know, quite often you'll see them at 2, 3, 4 feet in height, and beautiful, you know, patio trees and around pools.
I've been intentionally ignorant about palms because I think they're just an extremely obnoxious thing to put in the desert. But I finally had to get over that when I realized just how many palms there are. All right, if we're really going to do a full landscape garden tree outdoor living show, I better start learning a little something about palms because they are very, very predominant in the desert.
They are. They've just been, they're a key part of the landscapes here in the area. And they do fit more of a mesic, Mediterranean type of a landscape plan. They don't really fit in very well to a desert type landscape, more of a xeriscape. But if you do have that more of a Mediterranean architecture and landscape architecture, they fit in beautifully.
Now, we had John on earlier, who's not on hold any longer, but he wanted to know if the Chinese pistache was frost-hardy for Payson. So we brought Bernie, owner, founder of the Arizona Pistachio Nursery out of Marana, into the conversation. He did answer his phone this morning, so we're gonna get a real-time answer. Bernie, good morning, sir.
Good morning. So,
tell us about the frost hardiness of the Chinese pistache.
Okay, the Chinese pistache and the red push pistache are two different trees. So just so people will understand that the red push is a hybrid. The Chinese is not a hybrid. And but normally what we say on our trees is down to zero, but not sustained, like a week of zero or below. So they'll take down to zero.
Do you by chance know the highest elevation you have a tree planted? I know it's pretty hard because you sell them and y'all don't do the installs, but have you had reports from somebody in the Payson area, Rye, Prescott, Dewey, that has one of these in the ground?
Chino Valley, I know there's been some. I don't really know exactly yet. I know there's been some that's taken up there, but I've not heard what the how they've done.
What is the elevation in Chino Valley?
It's...
I don't know.
I know Prescott and Payson are almost identical, but I don't know from Payson. It feels like from Prescott, it feels like you're going up in elevation when you're going to Chino. Are you going up or down?
I think you're heading toward Flag. You probably hit going up some bit, but someone's got to call in and give us a heads up on that.
We'll look that up. But yeah, if they're surviving in Chino, I would definitely think Payson, and I would think you probably in some applications get a little bit warmer just from the natural canopy, because Chino Valley is a pretty windy
4,700 feet, by the way.
Okay, so you're going down when you're leaving Prescott to Chino.
You are. Okay. Hey, well, Bernie, thanks for the call. That's great. We really appreciate the good quality trees that you've been getting out to the all over the state of Arizona. Appreciate all that good hard work.
Okay. I appreciate your working with me on it. So we're happy to have it.
Thank you, Bernie. And he's at every ANA, ACTC event.
He's
very dedicated to the industry.
In fact, we got our tree from him. That's the one we got at the conference last month that we got sitting at the house ready to go into the ground.
We'll have to schedule a time for him to come just talk about how he hybridized the red push and how many he's done. There was a time he was completely out because the town of Midland, Texas, ordered his entire stock, and he had to get these semis and loaded them up, and they completely wiped him out because their oaks that they had were all dying off, and they opted to replace it with the red push instead of these others that they had that were dying off after 80 years. But let's go back to our fertilizing conversation that had before the bottom of the hour news break.
You talked about all the varieties and types of fertilizers, and
none of them have the same application.
Well, the formulations are all different, and that's really great because the trees do have specific nutrient needs, and the combination of those three numbers on the fertilizer bag, it talks about the nitrogen, the phosphorus, and the potassium, the NPK, and the relationship of those three are balanced in such a way they're going to bring just what your plants need. Citrus, you know, have certain demands. Other type of flowering plants that need more phosphorus for a better bloom, you're going to have a little higher second number. But generally, research has shown that a ratio of approximately 3 to 1 to 1 is ideal for as a general purpose tree fertilizer. So you see a lot of fertilizers. The one that we particularly like is a 15-8-4. It's more of a 3-2-1 combination that we like. It's got a good bloom. Your second number is a little bit higher, but it gives you that good nitrogen and adequate phosphorus and potassium. So you need to look around a little bit. If you see some of those, there's a special palm formulation or a special citrus fertilization or formulation. That's usually because they've done, they're providing you not having to go do all the research. And I would go by those recommendations. The nurseries are and the stores are providing a good service in doing that for us to help us to kind of dial it in and get the just what our plants are needing.
And I'm sure where you're buying your fertilizer in huge bulk quantities for your clients, isn't this, I mean, are you getting it from a local nursery on a discount, or do y'all have like a warehouse?
We have a wholesaler that we use at Target Chemicals.
That was what I was trying to get. Yeah. Do y'all use Target? Because I see them everywhere in the tree industry as well.
Yeah, and we're using some, also going with biofeed products too. You know, Dan Lee's products are really good. We're just kind of converting over to more organics, and we want to be able to bring some really good quality product to our customers.
I was laughing last night while I was running around in the dark trying to get all this fertilizer applied. How many times I've said, all right, this week I'm going to get by biofeed, I'm going to get their liquid tank, put it in and not have to mess with it, because they have a system where you got your fertilizer liquid tank that you fill up, and then it's got an attachment that goes onto your sprinkler system. So every time the sprinklers come on, it siphons just a little bit of liquid fertilizer. So you don't ever have to worry about remembering what days to fertilize, when the last time you fertilize. You don't have to wait for rain like I was doing. And it gets a full, consistent, natural supply of fertilizer. You just have to remember to fill the tank up.
Yeah, those fertigation systems are pretty popular, and a lot of people like to have them. It takes all the figuring out, all the problem solving out of it. It just allows you to have your fertilization being done pretty much year round.
We've got Dave on the line who wants to talk about Palo Verde tree with infected mistletoe, which will actually bring us to our final topic for the day, which is sustainable pruning. So we'll take Dave's question and talk about that right after this.